the Lunchtime Social, brought to you in association with White Fibre. Our packages are great value, and we constantly check our prices to ensure we remain competitive against other providers. Call for a chat on 01983 240 240.
Now, it's Tuesday, it's the Lunchtime Social Debate. We've got Ali in, and we've got a subject to talk about today. But first of all, I want to ask a question. Ali is a town councillor.
Yeah.
What made you get into politics?
What made me?
Yeah.
Because of a planning app, basically.
Okay, planning application for Arrowton, wasn't
it? For Arrowton, yes.
Okay, so you got involved in politics.
Uh-huh.
And you've been bitten by the bug.
I have, but I'm not political. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
I've got my own views,
yeah, no,
and I voice them.
Which I kind of like. I kind of like the fact that you're not governed by any one particular party.
Only myself.
And that's why I think it's been highlighted to a massive degree over the last few years that maybe politics needs to change purely and simply because, you know, if you've got 300 people that vote Labour or 300 MPs... Labour MPs, they're not all going to agree.
No.
And equally, if you've got 400 Conservatives, they're not all going to agree on things. So it kind of, I don't know, for me, it kind of muddies the water a bit when you've got people that have views, but they're not the views of the party. And does that make sense?
It does make sense. And I fail to see how you can belong to a party if you don't share their views. You know, because we've had the scenario on the island with the last elections that some of the candidates were, that's not how I agree, that's not... And it goes against what their party's saying.
Yeah.
And I found that quite confusing. How could you... You know, surely you should stand not as that party, as something else then.
Yeah.
Because you've got your own views.
That's why I kind of... don't get me wrong, I respect... You know, parties and so on and so forth, but I just think now there are so many grey issues and they're highlighted so much more nowadays that you kind of look at it and think, how can you be totally dedicated to a party if there's two or three policies you don't like?
And you're voting against their policies when it comes to voting. It doesn't make sense, does it?
Now, look, I tell you where I am with all of this, and you tell me whether I'm wrong or not. I mean, would you consider yourself working class?
Yes, definitely.
So you're definitely working class,
yep.
Like me,
yep.
Know where you are, know where you stand.
Yep.
Happy?
Reasonably.
Happy being working class?
Yes.
Any stigma attached because you're working class?
No, I don't know any different.
How, as a percentage of the people that are working, you know, not so much working, but left school, how much, you know, percentage-wise would you say people were working class?
On the island?
No, in the country.
In the country. 60%.
60%.
70%.
So you would believe that, you know, there's 60% of people that are working class. See, this is where everything differs a little bit because it's a mindset now, isn't it? We would see people as being working class because they work and they get a wage and so on. That makes them working class. But in their own little mind, they think that they're a little bit better than what they are. So they don't want to be working class, they want to be middle class or going up to the higher class thing.
No, see, my definition, my own personal definition of someone who is working class is someone like me.
So how many people, just going back, well, yeah, but that, you've just said no to what I've just said, and I don't think you've said no with the absolute knowledge of what you're saying no about. I'm saying that there are people out there that are, yeah, like you, 60%, but they are working class, but some of them in their own minds are not. They think that they are a little bit better than they are. Middle class.
But two or three years ago, we were told there's no such thing as a class system anymore in Britain. It doesn't
exist.
But
there is.
Obviously it is. Yeah, of course it is.
Anyway, the point I'm trying to make is you know, for once in probably 25, 30 years, we now have somebody that, in Jeremy Corbyn, in my eyes, is a man that is standing up for the working class people. My worry is that there's not enough working class people that think they're working class. There's enough of them that are working class, but in their own minds. I'll give you, for instance, my sister moved to Arrowton. No, she didn't. She moved to Merston back in 1981 and then told the rest of the family that she now and the rest of the family are middle class. The old man was still on the dole and drawing that, you know, going back to 1981, but they said because they lived in Merston now that they are middle class. I say, when people say, oh, there's no such thing as a class system, yeah, sorry, there is, whether you like it or not. But my worry over the last X amount of years is that the Labour Party, who's supposed to be working class, haven't been, because they've been trying to think of ways of trying to win the election by engaging with those people that think that they're better than working class so that they would get them to vote. And that's only happened once in our lifetime, when Tony Blair got in. You see where I'm coming from?
I do, yeah, exactly.
So is this guy Jeremy Corbyn going to reignite that passion and maybe, you know, give it to people straight enough so they actually understand it and maybe let them know that, hey, look, if you're working class, there's nothing wrong with it.
And there isn't anything wrong with
Absolutely
it, is there?
Absolutely not.
People should be proud
if
they're
they
working class.
They should be.
Because it means everything they've got, they have actually worked for. It's not been given to them, they've not inherited it, nothing. They have earned that. And working class, there's nothing wrong with it.
Do you think, I mean, because this guy's going to tackle austerity, he doesn't believe that, you know, we should be living in austerity because there are the finances there, they've just got to find them. And I'm going to read out some messages in a minute because I think there's a lot of people for, there's a lot of people against, but the one thing, and I've said this already this morning, I think, you know, it's something that you've got to watch with interest because one of my biggest bugbears over the last few years is the media, the national media. Even though we're in it, I say we try and be as fair as we possibly can, okay? That's how it should be. But our national media have been completely unfair. And, you know, I'll give you for instance, we talked about this a couple of months ago. Back in January, February, there was a documentary made about Wigan Council.
Oh, yes, I remember you saying, yeah.
And they were showing you just how blimmin' difficult it was to work as a council with £104 million less money. So they've had a right big hit on the amount of money, the funds that they get from the government. £104 million a year. And they followed, with a camera crew, they followed these team of people around Wigan to see if they could actually do the job properly, and it turned out that they couldn't, and they were failing miserably. People were, not because of their own fault, because of the
lack of money.
It was just as simple as that. So they filmed that in January, February. They screened it in late June.
After the election.
Now, that's the kind of things that I'm on about when it comes down to the media. The media are controlling everything. And he's the first person that I've actually seen stand up and tell a presenter or someone asking him a question to shut up and let him answer the question that he's already answered him. Already asked him. And I just think that's a wonderful thing. So if nothing else, if he can sort out that, then everything else will fall into place.
But look at the kicks he's already had on the way, hasn't
just
he? The people
that
came out, don't vote for him, we don't want him, don't this, don't that. And yet he's there.
He is there, and I think he's probably there because it's refreshing. It's a refreshing change to hear this guy. Yes, he's got his knockers. Yes, there will be people that will have a go. And I don't even know whether he's the right man to lead this country yet. All I know is that he's making all the right noises.
He's shouting for people like me and you.
And I'm really bothered by the fact that other people are shouting him down before he's even got his feet under the table. I mean, what was it David Cameron said about him? This man is a threat to our national security.
Oh, to national security, yeah, because of his views.
Well, I don't... I mean, let's be honest, on national security, there's certain people that are doing a terrific job and protecting us from so much stuff that we know nothing about.
Most of it's a joke, though, isn't it?
But let's be honest. We had a Prime Minister back in 1991 that took us to a war. We had another one in 1997 that took us to another war. Mm. And, you know, ever since then...
We've had illegal drone strikes, haven't we?
We've had...
Only last week that was, wasn't it?
My point is this. You've had two prime ministers on both sides of the big house that have taken us into situations of war. And, you know, ever since then, we've had a whole load of issues. You know, threats. Our national security has been under threat since then. And here, this guy, this bearded bloke that no one knew anything about 6 weeks, 3 months ago, all of a sudden, it's all his fault.
Yeah.
And...
All down to him.
It's all, I mean, you think to yourself, hang on a moment, let's
They've
get real.
They've had years of getting it wrong. This poor chap's had 6 weeks, and it's all his fault.
It's a fascinating thing, it really is. To me, it's just made politics very, very interesting.
I think it's about time we had someone that just stood up and said it like it is, and I think that's probably what people don't like.
So, honestly, truthfully, out of the four people that were up for election, did it bother you that much? Did it worry you that much? Because, you know, have you ever been a Labour voter?
No, I think my family were always Liberal on the island. Always.
Which a lot of people were.
But on the island, it's always been a tactical vote, hasn't it?
I think you're right.
Always been a tactical vote. I mean, I voted Liberal because my parents did.
Right.
That was it. And Steve Ross, you know, that was it.
Okay, it'd be interesting. I mean, I know that two prominent Labour guys have got behind him on the Isle of Wight, Jeff Lumley being one of them. And, you know, I know that, you know, he keeps going on about austerity and things like that. And I think, yeah, no, that's what people want to know, that you're kind of looking out for them. So, you know, the truth will be there for everyone to see. Is it hot air? Is it I'm pushing the right buttons? I'm going to talk about austerity. We shouldn't have it. We've got it, unfortunately. We have. So, you know, people are going to get behind him for that reason. But is it hot air, or does he really mean what he says? I mean, you know, this guy's come from nowhere.
I don't think he's come from nowhere, Ian. I think he's pushed himself because... We're only 4 months after a general election. And look at already.
Did you know where he was, who he was before?
I think I'd probably heard the name, but knew nothing about him. And until people are actually put in the spotlight, I don't think you do anyway.
He's certainly in the spotlight
just,
now.
Yeah.
Because I would imagine he's probably the most talked about person in the land at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And he hasn't even got started yet, but he's been criticised for not having ladies in his cabinet.
Okay.
Well, we didn't have ladies in the cabinet for years, both Labour and, you know, unfortunately, the Tories as well. So, I mean, it's not such a great deal, is it?
No.
Although the people are questioning...
It would be to me if I wanted to be in the cabinet, though.
Well, see, I think, you know, whatever he did, they were going to chop him down. They were going to do something in the media, give him a hard time.
But they all have, haven't they?
Yeah. But let's not forget, he's won nearly 59.5% first preference votes, beating rivals Andy Burnham, who trailed on 19%, nowhere near. Yvette Cooper, who received 17%, and then the Blairite candidate Liz Kendall came last with just 4.5%. So they really do you see another like breakaway group like it was back in the 1970s when the Lib Dems or the Liberal Democrats? Was it that they went from being Liberal to Liberal and SDP and so on? There was two leaders then, wasn't there?
I don't know. It's kind of before my time, yeah. But I was sort of too young to take an interest. My one fear would be that we end up a bit like Greece, that people have voted this chap in and he's just stood down, hasn't he, the Prime Minister of Greece, because he didn't want to take the country... to bankruptcy.
Should we just play out some of the speech here from Jeremy Corbyn the other day?
Because
I listened. Did you listen? No, you'd have been the best.
I was too busy boogieing.
Three sheets to the wind at the best of all. he got the nod on Saturday morning at about 11:30, and he got up and he gave this most amazing speech. And my wife said, "Come on, I'm waiting to go out." And I said, "Hang on, I'm just waiting for this speech." And then we just sat there and we thought, "Do you know what? Take the red out of this, take the colour out of it. This is a man that is just standing up and speaking for the people. And all the media have done is just muddied the waters and tried to make out that this man is some kind of Adolf Hitler. you know, he's a threat to our national security, blaming him for everything. And yet this man's only been in the limelight for a couple of months, and yet he's been blamed for just about everything. The potholes in the road, they'll be blaming Jeremy Corbyn soon.
On the Isle of Wight.
It's all his fault. He's probably never been to the Isle of Wight, but he'll get the blame for certain things. So we'll just play a little clip of that, okay? Hopefully, fingers crossed, it'll play out. But
can I start by thanking everyone who took part in this election, this huge democratic exercise of more than 500,000 people all across this country. It showed our party and our movement passionate, democratic, diverse, united, and absolutely determined in our quest for a decent and better society that is possible for all. I want also to thank Ed Miliband for all the work he did as leader of our party.
Not so sure that was a good bit.
I had a very long conversation with Ed a couple of days ago, and I thanked him for his work as leader of the party. I thanked him for his work as Environment Secretary and somebody who's passionate about defending the world's environment against the way it's being destroyed at the present time. But I also thanked him for the way in which he stood up to the abuse that he received by much of our media.
Agree with that.
So our party is about justice, is about democracy, it is about the great traditions we walk on. Those that founded our party and our movement, those that stood up for human rights and justice, the right for women to vote, the right for others to vote. We stand here today because of their work. But we go forward now as a movement and a party, bigger than we've ever been for a very, very long time, stronger than we've ever been for a very long time, more determined than we've been for a very long time, to show to everyone that the objectives of our party are intact. Passion is intact.
We'll leave it there. Because the other, obviously, he went on for a period of time. It was quite a long speech and quite a fabulous speech as well. And, you know, I thought he was just awesome, absolutely awesome. Said all the right things. Whether or not he can recreate, whether or not he can do anything of what he's saying, put his money where his mouth is, and is another thing. That's the way I'm looking at it. Okay, so it's early days, but he's just made politics very interesting. The reason why I say he's made politics very interesting is because all those people voted for him. Okay, these people that were supposedly Labour, but all of that, a lot of the Labour MPs have now decided that they don't want to support him. And, you know, they've split this party. It said he faces the task of constructing a broad-based shadow cabinet, pulling out his major TV, pulling out of a major TV interview with Andrew Marr on BBC on Sunday to start the process. However, within 2 hours, it was clear that Rachel Reeves, Emma Reynolds, Tristram Hunt, Chris Leslie and Liz Kendall, as well as Cooper, would not serve his leadership. Some have even resigned. So it'd be interesting to see what actually happens now, because this man has come in, and they're all looking at him and saying, well, "We don't like you."
They all did the same with Ed Miliband, didn't they?
Did they?
Yeah, when Ed Miliband was there, they were all saying, "Oh, it should have been his brother David, and it should have been this," and you know, they gave him a hard time as well.
Do you know what? I got this cynical. Maybe I'm too cynical. I'm just thinking, all of those people that came out of the woodwork and said, I want to vote, I want to do this. Do you know when there were secret Tories?
I know you could, I know you could actually sign up and pay £3 and have a vote.
Can you?
You could do for him, yeah.
So would my theory be right then?
I don't know. I think to start with, people did try to sabotage the vote.
Yeah. Now look, Jonathan Bacon is in the building, and I just think you can't let the council leader disappear
without having a say.
So maybe we should get him in. I'm pretty sure, here he comes, he's reluctant. His shoulders went down then. So maybe we'll get him in and we'll just have a little chat with Jonathan, ask him what he thinks. Plus we'll get the lowdown on what's going on with the Isle of Wight Council situation. If he sits down in the chair, you know, pulls that microphone round, and then we should be able to chat to Hare Bear.
Good afternoon.
How are you, Jonathan?
I'm fine. In a bit of a rush, so I'm not stopping long, I'm afraid.
Okay. Many people say that to me. Can't stop. Oh, I can't stop, Ian. Just a couple of things. We just wanted to ask you whether there's anything going on that we should know about at the moment. What's the word from County Hall? But more importantly, Jeremy...
I said I haven't got long.
Jeremy Corbyn, what's your views on Jeremy Corbyn being elected?
I think it's very interesting. It'll be interesting to see what happens over the next month or two. With the party.
I knew he'd carry on if I saw him quit.
What, did he just stare at me? And
that's what happens, you see.
I haven't seen not a lot of the detail because I've been off at Festival for the last few days.
I know, you were a mellow fellow.
You saw it all over Facebook. Yes, yeah. I did send a couple of things out on Facebook, it must be said. But yeah, I think it's a very interesting decision. I'm not sure where it leaves the Labour Party in terms of how they'll stick together under Jeremy Corbyn. Will they split? Something like that. But I think it'll make for interesting political times.
I think you're right.
Do you think it might take the Labour Party back to how they were 20 or 30 years ago and what they represented?
It may well do that, but... conversely, you might argue, is that going to do them any favours in 2015?
I think, in all honesty, that after the dust has settled, they may realise that they've either got something to fight for and they've got they've all got to join up and be on the same page, or they'll realise just how split they are, and all of a sudden they'll weaken their position by breaking away. And people have mentioned in the last couple of weeks that it may be like the Liberal situation in the 1970s when they had a bit of a breakaway group, a splinter group. And I just got this feeling that he's either going to ignite some kind of passion in them and let's get this back on track, or it's going to be like the parting of the ways.
I think it'll ignite interest in politics that has been lacking for some time, because everyone's been the same shade of grey almost. And I think it's interesting because there is now going to be clear water between the main political parties, and I think that makes for a much more interesting political situation, and I think gives people something a bit more to think about. They're more likely to get an engagement with politics if they can see that there are differences, there are different choices, there are different approaches, and I think Jeremy Corbyn's going to bring that to the political situation. As I say, how it plays out with the Labour Party, I wouldn't like to guess. I think it'll be very interesting, but I think how it plays out for an interest in politics could be very good.
Okay, so I think it is a case of watch this space, but I think we'll get a rough idea of what's going to happen in the next couple of weeks. I think you're right. I think there'll either be a togetherness or a breakaway. How will it affect the Isle of Wight, if it does at all?
I'm not sure there'll be any immediate effect. I know that the Labour group on the council are both very much supportive of Jeremy Corbyn, but how that might play through into our local situation, I'm not sure. I haven't had a chance to have a word with Jeff since the election. I'd be interested to have a word with him about it, although I think I know his views fairly clearly. So in terms of direct effect, I think we've got other things to worry about on the island, but let's wait and see.
Okay, so you are the council leader. You have been for a good few months now. What are you working on at the moment? Can you tell us?
What am I working on? Well, we've got an executive meeting tonight. I don't think there's anything too controversial coming up. We've obviously had a lot of stuff happening recently with the Navitas Wind Farm, with the ongoing discussion, debate about devolution, and obviously the train situation. I suppose those are the three things that have kept me most busy over the last few weeks.
Were you surprised at the vote on the wind farm?
I was disappointed. I don't think surprised. I think there's a lot of pressure was going from mainland authorities towards the government, and it's a big shame for the island, just for island industry. It's going to have a lot of things that could have happened won't happen now, I suspect.
Is it a financial loss?
Well, we were going to manufacture blades here. We were going to possibly have the onshore support services at Yarmouth. There was jobs into three figures, I think, could have come from this on the island.
It's a shame.
Which is small beer, perhaps, in the grand scheme of things, when you look at the mainland position. But for us, that's big and that's important.
So, pardon the pun, but, I mean, is the deal dead in the water? Is that it? Can't be.
As far as I understand, that's the ministerial decision. So unless someone's going to judicially review it, and I don't know if that is a decision that could be open to that sort of challenge, I think that's it. I think that's it.
So there's no chance of appeal or anything like that?
It being a ministerial decision, I don't think so, but I couldn't give you an authoritative answer on that.
Oh, okay.
I think it's gone pretty much as high as it could do sure. without turning into a court case, and I'm not sure if there's the money to do that.
Devolution, then, what would that mean? Tell me, if I'm putting you on the spot or things haven't been discussed yet, and you tell us what you can, if
I
you
just
can.
Wandered in here for 2 minutes.
I just want to point
came
that
in
out
for
as
a
well.
Piece of cake.
As well, how nice is that? You've got a council leader. We say, come on in and have a word, and he doesn't say no. Sorry,
I'll just
drop
by on my way to get some lunch.
Exactly. That's what makes you a likeable chap. And, I know that people don't thank you enough. I think you're a nice chap, and I think you're a decent chap.
You're just trying to stop me walking away now, because I'm getting hungry.
I'm just, honestly, I think you've got potential. I've said this before. I think potentially you've got the opportunity now to be probably one of our best-remembered council leaders for a long time, because you're an approachable, nice chap.
Best-remembered? That sounds like I'm off.
Well, you never know.
What have you heard?
You never know in this game.
Devolution, what the idea is, and it's at the stage of a proposal, no more than that at the moment, that a number of authorities, the Isle of Wight, together with about 14 authorities on the mainland, come together. To be technical for a moment, the nub of it is that it turns on business rates. Councils receive money in business rates. Normally, a chunk of that is sent to government. We keep the rest of it, and the government top up what councils get with rate support grant and a few other grants. The idea is to cease the government support through grants and make the councils self-supporting on their business rates. If we did that on our own on the island, we wouldn't get anywhere because we have a very low business rate base. So the idea is that amongst the 15 authorities, the business rate pool, which for some authorities is very big, is shared amongst the group of authorities in an equitable way. And that could mean financial benefit for the Isle of Wight, because it will mean you certainly won't get any less than we're doing at the moment, which is what will happen inevitably if we stay under the current system. We get cut each year. Mm. And we could benefit from it, because one of the key elements of the document, the offer that's been put forward, that I've been pushing forward, is that this scheme, if we're to be part of it, maintains the financial security of the Isle of Wight. And that's got to be a cornerstone of this, and we're not in it if that's not the case. So if we're working on equitable distribution of business rates across the authorities, that's the nub of it. And the exchange for that, for the government then not having to give us grants, is that they give greater powers locally. So we may have greater control over local planning, local income generation. Some regulation restriction that's on us now is taken away. So there's a quid pro quo. The government get to not give us any grants. We rely on our own money, but we get greater control over what we can do with that money.
And that's going to be better for us.
That's me trying to be simple on this, and it's quite a complex thing. I'm not trying to be condescending.
No, not at all.
But that's the nub of it. I think a lot of people are thinking this is going to form one big set of councillors shouting at each other in Hampshire, and that's not the idea. All the authorities maintain their individual identity. There will be essentially, I suspect, and this is still to be worked through, a coming together of the leaders of the authorities for strategic overview and direction. Mm. But essentially it's to give that pool of authorities a greater financial control and also predictability, because we don't know what the Chancellor is going to say each year in November, December. We've got a fairly good idea.
Yeah, I don't think he knows that, Jonathan, let's be honest.
But we know that it's not going to be, here, have some more money. Whereas if we know what our business rate base is amongst that group of authorities, we know what money's coming in. We also have greater control to develop the business rate base by supporting businesses, developing startups and so on. And therefore, you can actually plan a bit more for the future, which in the current circumstances, it's very difficult to do. Are we anticipating the government's going to take away 5%, 10%, 15% of our income next year?
So we're going to be slightly more in control of our own destiny if this happens. When does it all get rubber stamped, if at all?
I don't think it'll be rubber stamped. There's still a lot of discussion to go on. There are ongoing meetings. Throughout the next couple of months, there will probably be, I suspect, some form of announcement in November as to where we are in the tree of looking at this. It could be that a basic structure is in place April next year, but in terms of it actually coming into effect and all the cogs that will make it work being in place, or actually seeing the benefit of it, we're probably talking at least 2-3 years.
So it's a fair bit away, yeah. But if you don't put the spade
work in, it's a major reorganisation in how sure. local authorities operate. And there are 20, 25, possibly 30 groups of authorities around the country looking at doing something like this. They're looking to be supported by the government in doing it. So our, as speaking as part of the group that's been talking about this, I suppose our aim at the moment is to make sure we're pretty high up the list, because if we're not, then you know it's going to be years and years before anything could happen.
So let's hope it does happen in the next 2-3 years. But in that period,
well, let's
of time,
hope it happens in the right way. If we've got some red lines, we are the Isle of Wight. We are separate. We are our own authority. We need to be financially sustainable. We need to maintain control over things like housing and so on. If those are red lines, and if they're crossed, we can't be part of this. It wouldn't be right for the island. So,
okay.
Yes, if it's going to be right for us, let's get on with it. But the main thing, from my perspective in negotiations, is to make sure that we stand our ground, as we have done a few times already in these negotiations, we stand our ground and make sure that we fight our corner. But if we can go through on that basis, then yeah, let's bring it on.
Okay, brilliant. Okay, thank you for sharing that with us and making it simple as well. And do you see it being any quicker than 2-3 years? Because I'm kind of impatient.
I don't think it could be.
Because the reason why I say that, Jonathan,
the key outline of it could be in place early next year, but for it to actually operate and the collection mechanism and feeding out of and sharing of the business rates, that's got to be a complex process. I can't begin to think how that will operate, but the operation of that's got to be sorted out, because that's going to be the nub of the system, and that's got to be just a lot of work to get that to
the
to
reason why I asked
effect.
Is because obviously you know you're working hard, everyone's working hard, and you know maybe they need that shot in the arm, maybe they need that sort of right, okay, this is where it's all going to come good here, okay, we got cutbacks here, cutbacks there, but this is one place, this is one way that we can make this work and have a bit more control ourselves and be financially, hopefully, you know, a little bit more secure, if there is such a phrase to use in these current situations. So you don't want to be waiting 2-3 years.
Oh no, absolutely not. And one thing we're doing with government at the moment is talking about, if it is going to take 2 years, and you'd like us to be part of this, which is the message that's coming across, well, give us a leg up until
exactly.
that time. Take the island deal I've spoken about and others have spoken about in the past. Perhaps devolution overtakes that to some extent, but we still need to make sure we're still alive and kicking by the time it comes through, and that I think is where the island deal idea kicks in now, and those are discussions, as I said, that are ongoing with government.
Brilliant. Anything else you want to tell us about that's going on that maybe that we should know about?
Duran Duran were good on Friday night at the Festival.
I've heard they were absolutely excellent.
They were fantastic.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting anything from them, and they were probably one of the top three acts there.
Yeah,
that weekend.
I've heard so many good positive things about the Duran Duran.
They should have been the Sunday night headliner.
They should have been.
Well, they were better than the Jacksons.
Oh, it was Missy Elliott.
Oh, was it Missy Elliott?
Yeah.
Music-wise,
it
Missy
wasn't.
That sounds like someone who used to do a bit of cleaning in Harrison, doesn't it?
Well, it's one of those groups of rappers with hearing problems. You know, I can't hear you, and then they're saying, make some noise. If they weren't making all the noise, perhaps they could hear you. They've just got to get their priorities sorted out.
Yeah. Hey, look, it's great to see you, and thank you for coming in and sharing those details with us, and good luck with it. And
okay.
You say you've got a meeting tonight.
It's a council executive tonight.
Do you dread these kind of meetings? Are you like in the spotlight? Do you have to wear your tin hat?
I'm chairing tonight. As I said, I don't think there's too much controversial going on tonight, but it's always those ones that something will happen at. So you go in prepared. That's the main
thing. Okay. What time is all that kick off then?
6 o'clock.
So when do you have your tea then?
About 10 to 6.
Crikey. See, this is what people don't... I know it sounds like a really bizarre question, but...
I'm trying to have my lunch now, as I may have mentioned a moment
ago. All right, so now I'm feeling bad. I was trying to make...
You were asking earlier if there was tea and biscuits provided.
Well, the reason why I asked this question, when do you have your tea then? I'm just thinking, this is what people need to realise and understand about, you know, councillors. It's not all about, you know, going for a, you know, higher power lunch and stuff like, and expenses and stuff like that. You've got to fit a life in around the job that you do. And all right, you've had a nice time at the Bestel, don't moan. You have 4 days of it. And now you've got to squeeze your tea in at 10 to 6 before you go on and do that. Has your life suffered a little bit being leader, health-wise?
I had a fairly disorganised working life before this, from various things I was doing before, so it doesn't feel like that much of a change to me sometimes, but I think quite a lot of people would find the complete lack of structure, something different every day, different hours every day. You don't know if you're working 4 days, 5 days, 6 days, 7 days a week. It all depends what happens. Something can suddenly happen. I mean, we had at the beginning of the summer the Island Learning Centre burnt down. Suddenly that is something that puts an extra burden on your plate. That's got to be dealt with, and got to be dealt with in 6 weeks, so those children are back at school. You know, things like that happen.
Sure.
You just need to be able to be there and deal with it.
Do you know what? Maybe we should do. I tried this with Andrew Turner, but he didn't really want to come in. But I think it'd be great to come in, do an interview about nothing at all to do with politics, about your life and how it fits in with, you know, being council leader, being a councillor, and so on and so forth. Because I think sometimes we forget that we forget that you're human. You've got a life too. I'm just imagining you having a life with somebody like my wife. You would end up fighting each other because she would...
Don't start a rumour.
She needs to know what time you're in for tea. And you can't do that because she'd be asking me at tea time the night before, what do you want for tea tomorrow? While I'm eating the tea that she's cooked me for that night.
Yeah, I get the question, will I see you?
Will I see you? Yeah, see.
And sometimes I can answer it.
See? And that's the problem you got, isn't it? So, so what are you having at 10 to 6 then? Quick sandwich?
If I can go and get something now.
Yeah. Right, okay.
I'm dropping probably the good stuff's off the shelf now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Out of date now. Look, thank you, Jonathan, for coming in off the streets and telling us all about what's going on.
During your lunch break.
And giving us the details on the devolution. I hope it goes well, and I hope it goes well tonight as well.
Okay, but thanks. I'll make sure I've got a few more minutes next time I drop by.
Okay, bring some food with you next time. We'll have your lunch here with us.
There's cake out there, Ian.
I think they've eaten it all.
Cut off a slice of cake for him. Thank you, Jonathan.
Okay.
Good luck tonight. It's 19 minutes to one. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back.
The Lunchtime Social, brought to you in association with White Fibre, providers of the fastest fibre optic broadband on the island. Check them out at www.whitefibre.com. This is Vectis Radio. For the people, by the people.
Do you sing, or would you like to? White Harmony will be hosting a free 6-week Learn to Sing Harmony course for men over the age of 16 of all singing abilities. It starts on Thursday, September the 10th at Wootton. During the course, we will explore the close harmony singing style and learn a variety of techniques which will improve the quality of your singing. So come along to this free course in Wootton starting September the 10th. To find out more, please call Steve on 07786 494 751 or just Google White Harmony to access our website.
The House of Chili. Their aim is to not just help the hardened chili heads feel the burn, but to offer a range of products suited to all tastes. Call 01983 866 313. The House of Chili. Jams and chutneys, balsamics, hot sauces, marinades, and much more to spread the warming glow of chili love. www.houseofchili.com.
Would you like to explore pattern and create bold geometric artwork inspired by Piet Mondrian? Why not join artist Ian Whitmore at Key Arts on Saturday, 26 September from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. on this Waves art workshop called A la Mondrian. Places are funded by Key Arts Youth Offer Waves and are free for young people aged 11 to 14 years. Booking is essential. Contact our box office on 822 490 to book your place.
This has been a four-piece production sponsored by CLC, the Care Learning Centre.
you're one of those people that has to live life on a tight budget, you might want to take advantage of the £10 meal deal at Hamilton's Fine Foods.
£10 meal deal, I started probably about 2 years ago now, and we've managed to sustain the prices that you still get the full value of that, which is the chicken, the mince, the ham, the sausages, and that chicken will go for a family of four quite easily. You've still got the stock afterwards if you want to, and the bones to make a soup. Sausages obviously is a meal in itself, the ham is another evening meal.
Hamilton's Fine Foods, you'll find them on Dace Way and Pyle Street in Newport, also in Wootton and Cowes too.
Where do you go for a wide range of animal feeds, accessories and lots more? Sandown Pet Store are the island's premier store for all your pets' needs. We are open 6 days a week on St John's Road, Sandown. Telephone 01983 407788 and speak to Paul or Wendy for a friendly and reliable service.
Hi, I'm Maggie Curry, established freelance coach. My work impacts lives and is a catalyst for life-changing experiences. I work with clients to encourage them to step out of their comfort zone, rediscover passions and be themselves. Calm and in control of my own life, I have more than a decade's experience in coaching and will help you build the foundations for your future. Get in touch today to find out how my inspirational coaching can transform first you and then your life. Contact me via my website, www.maggiecurry.co.uk, or through the Vectis Radio website.
The name's Monster, Rock Monster. Join me every Saturday night on Vectis Radio for the show that's licensed to rock, The Rock Monster Show, playing classic rock, prog, blues and AOR, the classics you love, the best, the new releases and some hidden gems as well, along with interviews and special guests. So join me every Saturday night, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m, only on Vectis Radio.
Stay social and get in touch. Give us a call on 01983 240 666 or add us on Skype. It's Vectis.radio. The World Wide Web never felt so local.
The Lunchtime Social is brought to you in association with White Fibre for the best deals in broadband, television and phone. 100% local. All employees live on the Isle of Wight. Check them out at www.whitefibre.com.
And we have another poor unsuspecting soul that's just joined us in the studio.
Thanks.
We had Jonathan Bacon, Council Leader, just now, and we saw you there waiting in the waiting room. And so we've got Kieran Thompson.
Hello.
Now, good Kieran, afternoon. I'm glad you came in.
Thank you.
Cause it's
I'm glad I did as well.
It's a chance to say goodbye. And hopefully, well, au revoir, as they say, because you're obviously going over to, is it Bournemouth?
Bournemouth, yeah.
University?
Yep, going to.
Radio degree?
Yeah, going to do, I'm off to do my master's in radio.
Brilliant.
So it's been a bit of a jump, really, because it feels like I only joined Vectis yesterday, and it's now about a year ago. So really, to be going off that quickly and to head off to the masters, it's just gone so quickly.
Incredible. It has gone quickly, isn't it? Because it is about a year ago you came in through the door. So you're off to do, so when you go and do something like that, how long would that last for?
If I don't get kicked off the course, it's a 1 year course. So it's a 1 year right. Full time course, so spend as much time in the university as they want you to. Which, now I'm 24 and not the silly 18-year-old that was when I first went to university.
Right.
I could probably do a bit better.
Okay, let's hope so.
Yeah, touch wood.
You seem a mature 24.
Thank you. You've seen all the best sides of me.
Although one day I was trying to get hold of you, making the phone ring and everything, but the light was flashing because obviously it doesn't ring,
and you wouldn't
answer the phone.
Yeah.
And I said to you, did you not know? Oh, yeah. He said, I remember now. That's a phone, isn't it? I've seen you talking through, into it a little while ago. And cool, you wouldn't think I got a degree, would you? And it was such a lovely thing to hear.
I just forgot that was a phone. Genuinely.
So where do you go after that year then? Have you got your sight set on something?
I've had this sort of same conversation with a few people over the last probably month or two since I was confirmed on the course, and really I haven't got a absolute goal. It's more a few months in, I think I'll discover exactly what I want to do and exactly where I'm going to go with it and the opportunities that I'll be given. So for the last year and a half that I've done radio, it's been very much that I've been presenting, but I've not done much of the production side. So maybe it's more producing, maybe it's more the sales side of it as well.
Sure.
I've just got to see where it takes me, really, more than anything, rather than just...
What people don't realise is, I'm sure you've realised some time ago, but radio is so big. It's such a... it's not just sitting here and flapping your gums.
Yeah.
There's so many other things to it. Even Ali, who I've carried this morning on the show...
No, you haven't.
She's obviously gone out of the week, over the weekend, had a nice time, and it's kind of sort of eaten into a Tuesday as well. But
I'm not getting involved in this argument.
You came in as this nervous person 2 years ago, and there you are now. You're a town councillor. You stand up in front of people and speak, and very recently you were introducing acts on stage at Postfest.
Yeah.
So it's a number of things, but you're absolutely right about the production thing. That's another branch altogether.
Yeah.
But to me, that's probably the one where you have most fun. Because there's so much you can do.
Well, I think the first thing where I wanted to get into radio, I was about 12 years old, and I used to listen to, if it wasn't, various stations that I would listen to, like Radio 1. When you're young, you just want to listen to Busted or Daniel Benningfield, and you're a kid. And I just wanted to play that sort of music to my family and to my friends. I thought, how good would it be if I had a radio show? Skip forward about 10 years, and I actually did something upon that.
Brilliant.
So it's more the side that I found that to be the really fun side. The production side is the more technical side, which is something I did in my first 3 years at university. So really doing that for audio, I think that's going to be quite fun. I'm looking forward to it, say the least. And
excellent.
Nervous as hell, but
you'll be fine. That year, though, will whiz by.
It really will.
So honestly, make the most of it and suck it all up and enjoy every single day.
Because
that year will be done and dusted with in the blink of an eye.
Yeah.
as when you're doing something that you really, really enjoy.
Mm.
So good luck with that. I hope
thank
it
you.
Really, really works
no, thank
out.
You very much. No, I'm
and
looking forward to it.
I've got to say that you've been here for a year, but you're a terrific guy, lovely fella. And I know that you're you kind of surprised me, because one of the subjects this subject that we're talking about today, we're talking about Jeremy Corbyn.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about, has it just made politics interesting? And you kind of surprised me, because you were one of those people that we started talking about at the beginning of the show, a socialist.
Okay.
Working class. Proud of it.
Yeah.
And I made the point of, there's too many people in this country that probably they are working class, but because they think they're working class, or because people might say that they're working class, there's a bit of a stigma attached. They think, I'm not working class, I'm better than that. Maybe they should remove that stigma, because there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, I've been working class all my life. I don't want to be anything else.
Yeah.
I'm proud to be working class. So would you fit in the same bracket?
I have a lot of family members who don't consider themselves working class, because they don't see themselves down a factory every day. They think working class is very much stereotyped towards... the lowest pay possible, working in shoddy conditions, that sort of stuff. Whereas
that's
my family,
hat, though, isn't it?
It is. It's a stereotype from probably the 80s and before, which has stuck around.
Yeah.
And yet, my family are very working class, and I'm very fortunate, because I've got some very much better off, much more well off family members who have helped me out throughout the years. But I don't see myself as anything other than working class, because I work, and that's
exactly it.
My approach to life, and that's how I need to do things. So I found myself that.
Said this earlier on, you would have missed it, but my sister was living up some horrible street in Newport, and she moved out to Merston and told everybody that she was middle class, because she was doing it, but her old man was still drawing the dole. And I just thought, well, that's just the weirdest thing ever.
That's not how it works at all, either. You move to a slightly nicer place doesn't mean you've moved up a class.
No, it doesn't. It just means you moved house.
Exactly.
Now, I put this on Facebook yesterday. Our Prime Minister claims that Jeremy Corbyn is a threat to national security. I'm saying all he did was get himself elected as Labour leader. A threat to the Tories, no doubt. The man has shaken up politics, made it more interesting. Does he have enough support, though, to become Prime Minister? He comes across as a real man. man of the people, what do you think? You're
24.
Mm. Now, okay, the biggest problem that we've had in this country in the last couple of elections are getting youngsters to vote.
Yeah.
How are we going to get, or should we get, youngsters voting for people that are going to be, in a few years' time, 71? How are they going to engage? Or do you look at it slightly differently? You're 24, you say? Are you going to look at him and think, well, you're too old to be Prime Minister? Or can you look at this man and think, hey, hang on a minute, this is a top bloke. He speaks for everything I stand for. Let's forget the age thing and vote.
I think definitely the Labour Party has to unite behind him, because you can't just say that, oh, he got 33% of the vote and the person behind got 32% of the vote. He was a clear winner. He got 60% of the vote.
Yeah. Yeah.
The party voted for him. Mm. So if you are young and you are into politics, and sort of speaking from my sort of friendship group, I'd say at least half to two-thirds are interested in this topic. But maybe I don't speak for all 24-year-olds in the country. I definitely don't, actually. But I think people do have an interest in politics. A lot more of my friends, maybe it's just the company I keep, are more left-leaning. And there are people who I know who are well behind Jeremy Corbyn. I speak for myself. I'm a member of the Labour Party. I voted for Jeremy Corbyn as the number one choice, mainly because I had the belief in him that he will make for a better country if he's elected. However, there are some things that you're not going to agree with 100% of one person's policy, and that will change.
Yeah, no, interesting. You got a beard as well.
Beard related. Beard brothers. Yeah, we have sort of a special fraternity of beards. You just have to stick together.
Doyley says I like him, and we need to look at his words about the military in context. What he wants ideally is to never have the need for military action, which I presume is what 99% of the people want. But he accepts that there are possibly times when action is necessary. Surely if a political resolution can be found to stop a war, isn't that what we all want? And why are people surprised that a socialist party has elected a leader who is a socialist?
Yes. Would you believe it? The Labour Party voted for a socialist.
Which is kind of what we said at the beginning. They kind of sold, I thought the Labour Party had sold out years and years ago to sort of become watered down Tories, just so that it would become more appealing to get the voted in. I still say there's nothing wrong with being working class. Take the stigma away. Most of us are working class.
Yeah.
Do we work?
Yes.
That makes it
then
quite...
It's
common sense to me. Philip says he will never be Prime Minister. No more than good opposition. Coming soon, a breakaway Labour Party, methinks. Now, you're part of the Labour Party. Do you see a breakaway? Do you think that's going to happen?
I see a rise in people joining the Labour Party because they're now more left, and a rise in people leaving the Labour Party because they're more left. I don't know if that'll cause a breakaway. I would severely doubt it. There's been so many things in popular media, recent politics, where they've said, well, we'll just form a second group. Never happens, never works.
Do you know, I think when the dust settles, I think that's when we can see what we've really got here. But for the time being, I find it all fascinating and interesting, and where it's all going to go to, because I think there's going to be breakups here. I think there's going to be get-togethers here and so on and so forth. But it has made politics more interesting. What do you
definitely
think,
Alan? I think it's definitely made it more interesting, and we need to perhaps look in 2 or 3 years' time to see how the Labour Party are doing, and they could be serious contenders for the government.
Yeah, could well be. Years.
Okay, we'll have to leave it there because we've run right out of time. Thank you, Ali. I'm proud to have carried you this morning on
you
the show.
You have not. And,
not thank being you. Involved.
Thank you for coming in, Kirill. Good luck with
thank you very much
with university, and hopefully it won't be the end of your time on Vectis Radio.
And thank you very much, Ian, for everything you've done over the last year. And to everyone at the station, everyone, all the listeners.
Privilege.
Thank you.
Privilege. Thank you.